You tuned to New Sound Radio. 92 FM. This is the Community Hour, and I'm Pete Day. Now, we're often told by politicians and policymakers, we're all living longer, and I know we can expect to clock up a few more years in retirement. Well, quickly, though, remind us that it's all going to cost far too much money, and the ways we have to be fined to reduce the rising pensions bill. In addition to this, elderly people have been blamed for spiraling costs in the health service. We may have found ways of keeping people alive, but the cost of healthcare to do so increased dramatically. And if we then start to look at social care, that's things like home helps, nursing homes, Meals on Wheels. I don't know, the sum total is that this longevity is generally seen as being posed as a problem, and it's something that the rest of the population has to just deal with. Well, what about the quality of life of these extra years of life that we've been promised? And to many people, I don't think it means loneliness, it means ill health, and for many people as well, it means stuck in poverty as well. Well, here to look at these issues, and someone with some fresh ideas as well. And also, I think he's got some maybe some new ways of looking at things. We're joined now live in the studio by Will Horitz from the Newham-based organisation Community Links. Will, thanks for joining us here on New Sound Radio 92 FM.
It's all good to be here.
Okay. Well, I don't know, elderly people, are they a problem?
Well, we think not, no. So Community Links hosts something called the Early Action Task Force, and we're looking at how we can have a more sort of long-term kind of preventative look across society and across public services. And we looked at this debate around older people, and like you say, it's always presented as phrases like the demographic time bomb and how we're all getting older and therefore we're going to explode somehow. And we felt that looks at it in the wrong way, really, because although at the moment there are obviously issues around, you know, the costs of healthcare and pensions and things, that they're not. That's not necessarily how it has to be, and we could do things differently. And our argument is that if we planned ahead a bit more, partly as individuals, but more so as government and as society, and took a much longer term approach and thought about what we actually wanted to achieve and contribute in later life, then later life would go from being something which at the moment is seen as a costing a lot to something that actually...
It's really negative. We do have very negative ideas about getting old, don't we? I mean, and it's partly a cultural thing as well. I mean, I know sort of like different cultures have different ideas of it, but we tend to think, you know, it's silly old fool and silly old this and, you know, maybe not such polite words even are used as well. I mean, I don't know. Do you think that's a problem?
I do, yeah. I think we pointed to the example of birthday cards where, you know, I'm almost 30, and even 30-year-old birthday cards sort of mock the process of getting older, and the implication is you don't want to get older, which seems a bit silly in a way, because we all are getting older. There's nothing we can do about getting older, so it seems a shame to make that a negative thing. And actually, there's even evidence that people who have a negative attitude to their own aging die on average 7.5 years younger.
It's almost like they're wishing their lives away, and they're wishing there's more negative idea. Yeah. I think there's some cultures, I mean, have a different way of looking at things. I mean, in many ways, you know, age is seen as wisdom. Rather than sort of like, you know, silly old bloke, he don't know what he's talking about, silly old woman or whatever. I mean, it's a good idea, and I'm sure a lot of people would agree with that sentiment you're saying, but how do you change it?
It's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not, because it's a cultural thing, isn't it? It's quite ingrained in us, isn't it?
It is, and it's not something that, you know, so a lot of our recommendations are aimed at government. It's not something government can do on their own, but we do think there's something that government can kind of lead. So, for example, looking further ahead in how government designs policies to make sure that we don't just spend some money now on something that will mop up some costs in the short term, but cost a lot more in the long term.
So
take healthcare, for example. It's interesting to contrast it with children. We spend quite a lot of money on children in a way that sort of is spent on all of us in investment, so education and childcare and things. By the time we get to old age, the only things government really spends money on is healthcare and social care, which are both really late. Kind of, they dive in at the crisis point.
Yeah, I mean, it's when there's a problem where somebody actually can't cope, then they say,
then we start having services. So how could we look a bit earlier and invest more a bit earlier in, say, in middle age, for example?
But you can't prevent old age, and you can't prevent people sort of, I mean, your body does start to give up on you, doesn't it, as you get older. It just gradually kind of wears out, if you like, as you get older. So, I mean, what can you do in middle age? It's not going to stop people getting older. It's not going to stop your body, you know, your hair going grey or your teeth falling out, is it? I mean, what do you mean
no,
exactly?
We definitely all get old, but I think at the moment we get old, we have a lot more sort of health impacts of getting old sooner than we need to. So there's a lot of evidence that you could delay the kind of ill health aspects of getting old until much later. So you could live longer, healthier, and then at the, towards the end of our lives, obviously, we will eventually get more health problems.
What sort of things would that be? What sort of thing? You're talking about, you know, actually some sort of intervention in middle age. What sort of things are we talking about there?
Well, lifestyle is the foods we eat and the exercise we take and smoking and drinking and all those things have an enormous impact. And it turns out more of an impact, they don't have the impact immediately. When doing that in middle age has the impact, you know, 10 or 20 or 30 years later.
Right, okay, if you eat badly, you can get away with it. You know, when you're a teenager, when you're in your 20s, maybe even in your 30s, you can get away with it.
Even in your 40s and 50s.
Yeah, and then it catches up with you as you get older sort of thing.
Exactly.
Okay. But again, what can governments do something about this? I mean, is it just up to individuals? I mean, what can be done about it? I mean, you've seen the problem, but what's the solution? I don't know. Maybe there isn't one.
Well, we hope there are. I mean, I think there's an element of which is up to individuals, but I think also there are things government could do. So if it, at the moment, it's spending money isn't the only thing, but at the moment it doesn't spend very much money on that compared to how much it spends on the kind of crisis acute care right at the end.
Or also on children. I mean, I was thinking as well, you know, you've got apart from see people collecting on the streets, yeah? Mm. You know, with, you know, shaking the tin or whatever, and different, you know, going on sponsored runs and walks and all that sort of thing. You know, great, absolutely fantastic things. You're more likely to see someone collecting for childhood leukemia, yeah, than you would do for something like, I don't know, old age or dementia or something like that. It doesn't really sort of like quite ring quite the same bell, does it?
It's true.
It doesn't seem, people say, oh, you know, it's a bit of a shame, but, you know, it doesn't really matter. Whereas it always seems like, you know, childhood leukemia or childhood cancers and things like that, that's always seen as like a vital thing, saying we must do something
about it. It is, true. When we launched this report, we actually got a group of children's charities together to write a letter to the newspapers saying that they also supported this agenda. And we did that because we thought it's a shame that it gets segmented like this. So we have older people's charities for older people and children's charities for children. Whereas actually those children will grow up to be older people.
Absolutely, in the end,
it's all
yes,
the same
of
people.
Yeah,
we're just going through the different things. So actually this it's an agenda that we should all be concerned about, not just the leaving it until until we're old and then relying on our charities like Age UK to provide that support seems a bit short-sighted to us, so that we would try to buy everyone into it.
They were saying, I mean, your report, was it looking forward to later life, yeah? I mean, great, very easy read, a good read. I don't mean that in a nasty way. I mean, you know, it's a good read. There's a lot of substance to it, but it's the sort of thing that anyone can pick up and things like that. We'll give a link for that at the end if people, because you can download it for free as well. You don't get much of nothing these days, do you? You can actually download it for free. And it's very interestingly written, but it's also, I think, you know, it's a little bit controversial. I think you're trying to be a little bit, you know, getting in there, a bit of edge to it. One of the things you talked about is abolishing retirement. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there, well, I'm coming up not so far away from retirement, thinking, wait a minute. I've always sort of thought, well, what they're doing is they're gradually moving back to retirement age, and I've always sort of thought, oh no, I'll never get my old age pension.
Yeah.
Where they keep doing it. Abolish retirement, bit controversial.
I think what I meant by that was getting rid of the idea that you work incredibly hard up until a certain age and then suddenly it all stops. And retirement is a very negative. I think a lot, you know, people look forward to it, but what it actually, all it really signifies is the kind of end of your participation in work. And there's not much more to it than that. In, you know, for some people, obviously some people take real advantage of it and have a great time. But for a lot of people, I think it can be quite difficult that suddenly leaving work, you have a drop in income, you lose all your social networks around work, possibly health problems, other things, and it's not actually that great a time. So by abolishing retirement, we didn't necessarily mean everyone has to keep working forever. What it more meant was that partly you think you could smooth that transition a lot more. So some companies already, for example, allow you to gradually work less and less hours as you get older. One proposal would be, what the think tank has raised, is that every year from the age of about 55, you work a couple of hours less each week per year, each year.
Oh, I see.
So
yeah,
by
yeah.
the time you're about 65, you're working maybe 20 hours a week, 3 day a week or something, and gradually reduce it.
Okay,
rather than this
sharp. It's something we talked about, it was a few weeks back now, we had some people from the men's cabin down in Poplar. And they were a group of blokes who got themselves together who'd actually identified, as one of the things identified as a problem, that they all worked and worked and worked, and they reached a certain age, and then suddenly, on one day, on a Friday, they got a gold watch, they all went down the pub, had a few drinks, and that was it. Mm. And they never went back to work again.
Yeah.
And they said how hard they found that, because a lot of them, they had like social contacts, their friends, everything was geared around work, and they never really realised it.
Yeah.
And they always said, to everyone how much they hated work. And then suddenly they didn't have it anymore. Their whole life just disappeared, and they found it really difficult, you know. And, you know, they'd come together and they'd found each other and, you know, of course they'd found its sort of social networks and things.
Exactly.
Maybe some, there's a gender issue here as well, isn't there, maybe, in terms of this, in terms of men and women, do you think?
Yeah, so particularly with work and how men and women sort of have different careers.
Yeah, I'm certainly traditionally, and the people are coming up towards that retirement. That's
yeah, absolutely. I mean, the retirement ages are sort of equalising now, aren't they, slowly, and both going up.
Yes, that is, yeah, it's happening, yeah, chasing. My missus in particular, she's always talking about, you know, one time she could retire at 60, and now it's got to be 66.
I know, it's going up and up.
It's just every year she gets older, they make it a year longer, yeah. Sort of thing. Okay. Another one which I thought was a very controversial one is you want to ban doorknobs, is that correct? What do you mean by that? Come
we
on.
Did. We
put, I know it's like a light-hearted thing, but this is a serious point, isn't
there's, it? There is a point behind it, yeah. So doorknobs are one of those things that... when you are, you know, young and middle-aged, you don't think twice about opening a door. And then if you have problems with your hands or arthritis, particularly common in older people, suddenly a doorknob, you know, a slippery one, particularly maybe when it's wet or something, can be actually really hard to use. And it doesn't need to be because, you know, levers work just as well at opening doors and are much, much easier to use. So the only reason we have doorknobs is a kind of legacy of design, I guess, from the past or something. But actually, if you got rid of them and replaced them all with levers, suddenly... the world will be a lot easier for a lot of...
And obviously you're expanding, you're not just talking about doorknobs, you're talking about the way that the world's constructed and the things that you're talking about, where should there be ramps everywhere, should there be different things like that, and different ways that people can get about and easier
exactly,
to people.
Forms of transport and...
Yeah, of course, yeah, big one, isn't it? Yeah. Big one, sort of just
one good example that's already happened is wheels on suitcases. So a few years ago there weren't wheels, you know, suitcases didn't really have wheels on them and it was impossible to get around with a suitcase. And now we've got wheels, a simple thing like sticking wheels on the bottom.
Yeah, that's right. And loads of people can, move quite large things around and whatever.
And a lot of these things obviously will benefit older people, will also benefit lots of other people who, you know, might have struggled with, well, the doorknob example, might struggle with opening doors because they've got other problems with their hands, for example. So,
okay. I mean, I don't know, is this, all these things you're talking about, you know, the cultural change, is it, should governments be doing something? Is it a responsibility of all of us? Is it... Actually, I mean, you've raised a lot of questions, a lot of issues, and it's like I'm just thinking, okay, and a lot you read it, you think, oh, that makes a lot of sense. But how's it going to change?
It's a good question. I think government have a role, particularly in the services that they provide. So changing the way healthcare and social care work and change, and, you know, some of the rules around retirement, for example, government can lead a lot of that kind of thing. But you're right, the government doesn't really lead the way we think about age. And I think that is more responsibility for individuals and maybe some of the charities around older age, you know, pressure groups, communities to think differently about it.
Yeah.
We've called on government to lead the process of kind of creating a vision for it. Because I think part of the problem is we don't really know what we want from older age. We kind of know that it involves not working and possibly being a grandparent. And we have a few kind of isolated things.
It's very sort of, not very constructive, is it?
No, it's not. Whereas things like, you know, sort of our working age, we know kind of a shared understanding of what that involves. We know what childhood involves and what counts as a good childhood. But we don't really have the same vision for what is in older age. And that's partly because, you know, several decades ago, far fewer of us lived that long. So we didn't really have, you know, when the state pension was first introduced, very few people lived past 65.
It was the free score and 10, wasn't it? 70 years, you know, biblical. But, you know, that was the case, wasn't it?
So we didn't have very many years to enjoy it. Whereas now, as life expectancies get longer, we have a lot longer.
And to use that time usefully, lots of different things. Yeah, I mean, it's a bit like one of the things I heard about education and things. You know, there's always a thing: raise the school leaving age to 90. You know, things like that. You know, it's the idea that, you know, like education seen for the young, isn't it? You know, and it's like, you know, well, wait a minute, hold on a second. And I know there's people like University of Third Age. I don't know if you've heard of them. And there are people out there who are sort of saying, like, hang on, elder people, they've got loads of knowledge, they can teach each other different things.
Yeah. Well, we mentioned that. I mean, the amount of government funding that goes into education for children and young people versus older people and middle-aged people, you know, it's sort of 95% is for children and young people. And, you know, there's an argument for saying, well, most of it probably should be, but is that balance really right? Do we think such a small proportion of government funding for education should be for children, or is there not a value in us being able to carry on learning when we get older as well?
And also it's something which is being cut, because a lot of that is provided by local authorities, of course, and it's not, you know, funded sort of centrally or anything like that. It's, you know, it's community education groups. And, of course, council's being strapped for cash, so they sort of think, well, you know, it's all a bit of an extra and maybe we could do without that. And we'd soon, if we're going to spend it either on, you know, community education for adults, or should we be spending that on children? they spend it on children, don't
they? Spend on children,
and
exactly.
This happens every time. And things
one of the things we recommend is that government should devolve a lot more funding to local authorities, to give local authorities a lot more control, and local body, the local health body, that kind of thing. So you could make those decisions with a bit more information and a bit more control over them.
Okay. Actually, we've got to go to the break now, yeah, but there's one thing, though, is that, I'll tell you what, first of all, can you just tell us how people can get hold of this report? People have a look at it.
The easiest way is to go to our Community Links' website, so community-links.org.
Right.
Or if you just Google Community Links, it'll come up, and then it's linked to from the front page, and you can download it from there.
Okay, and like I say, I'd recommend it. I'd read through it, and I'm no academic and things like that, but you could read through it, and it's something that anyone could read. Very controversial. Sometimes it's kind of quite witty as well. It's kind of quite funny. It looks at those things, you know, but it also takes up some very serious issues as well. But before we go to the break, yeah, one thing, yeah? If there's one thing that could be done to improve the quality of life for older people in Britain, what do you think that would be? If there's one thing that could be done, what do you think that would be?
I'm going to pick one that is maybe not... is a bit jokey, but I think it's got serious intent behind it.
Yeah.
It would be get rid of all the birthday cards that mock older people from shops, replace them with ones that are a bit more positive about the process of getting older.
Okay, that's yeah, because that would be, I mean, a cultural shift that people sort of didn't do that anymore.
Exactly,
yeah,
a cultural shift that we think positively about our ageing and that we think it's time to enjoy and contribute and not just a burden.
And everything else would just flow from that, wouldn't it, in many
ways? Hopefully
it
would.
Well, hopefully it would. I mean, yeah, because if you actually had a groundswell of opinion, people thought like that, I mean, political parties presumably would pick up on it, and then they'd sort of be rushing around to have legislation to
exactly.
that sort of did that. Yeah. I tell you what, Will Horitz, thanks for joining us here on New Sound Radio 92 FM. But you will stay, won't you, because after the break, we've got a special report on beating the bounds down there in Leighton Marsh. You'll stay for that, won't you?
I will. Look forward to it.
Stay tuned to New Sound Radio 92 FM.
Advertise on New Sound Radio for as little as £10 per day. For further details, telephone 020 8472 9994.